I have no doubt that next year we'll look at a company and we'll be like, hey, where did this company come from? They're solving this problem in cybersecurity and they were in Singapore or the Philippines and they just had a better mousetrap on something. I believe that's very possible in cybersecurity. It's kind of the Wild West today in cybersecurity land. And push west, my friends, and get that new space, own it for yourself, and build your tools, build your capabilities there.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Looking Forward, opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers. If that describes you, then this is the podcast for you. If you're a freelancer, a startup or small business, a well-established company, a nonprofit, or even someone thinking about a second or possibly a third career, this is for you too. You see, here in Looking Forward, we focus on global trends in the future, but most importantly, on the opportunities they're creating. Our guest experts will not only tell you about those opportunities, they will also give you some tips to help you take the first steps toward capitalizing on them. I'm your host, Jeff Ostroff. Hi, everyone. What's something literally billions of people use every day, whether at home, work, or someplace else? That's right, the internet. And what's something people have to be concerned about when they use the internet? Yes, cyber attacks. My guest today, Craig Taylor, is an expert on cybersecurity. And while Craig says cyber attacks are definitely something to be concerned about, he also believes the need for cybersecurity is creating lots of opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers. To learn more about Craig, listen to the episode and check the show notes. And please, don't forget to give us feedback about this or any other Looking Forward episode. Now, before we get started, I want to say a few words about our sponsor, SupaPass. Do you make podcasts, video courses, or other content? Well, that means you need your own engaging website and mobile app for everything you make. And SupaPass can help. Turn your followers into superfans and paid customers. Elevate your brand with your own stunning website and mobile app. And with SupaPass, it's never been easier. SupaPass is the most powerful content app maker on the market. And now you can try it for free. Or like me, you can be on one of their other plans. Enter code LOOKINGFORWARD, all one word, all caps, looking forward, and get a 10% lifetime discount on any of their plans. Go to superpass.com. That's super with an A, superpass.com. And hey, if you want us to mention your organization on the show, please contact us for more details. Okay, let's get started.
Well, hi, Craig. Welcome to Looking Forward, opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you on because you are an expert in an area that really encompasses the world. Some things that we talk about here don't quite involve the entire world, including both consumers and businesses. But Craig, you're involved in something that encompasses both of those. And it's an area that we all need to be involved with in one way or another and pay attention to. And that is, you are an expert on cybersecurity. And I would love to get started with you, Craig, by having you tell our listeners how and why you got interested in cybersecurity. I know you've been involved with this for like 25 years. So yes. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Thank you, Jeff. That's a great introduction. I have been working in cybersecurity, as you say, for 25 years. What does that mean? It means I started doing cybersecurity before there was a World Wide Web. That's how far back in time I go.
Wow.
And I got into cybersecurity, Jeff, for a variety of reasons. I had a love of computers. I had a love of teaching. I actually was enrolled in teachers college at one point, but couldn't pursue that because of the financial burden it placed on my family. And I really don't like it when people take advantage of those who are less fortunate, those who have less knowledge, those who wouldn't know how to defend against an attacker sending a phishing attack. And I said, you know, I can do something about this. I can marry my knowledge of cybersecurity and teaching together and teach people cyber literacy skills. So that's where I went with my career 10 years ago, founding CyberHoot to teach basic cyber literacy skills. The good news, Jeff, is what we're teaching and what people out there listening to this need to know is not rocket science. These are fundamentally common sense practices, but applied with a little bit of knowledge around how to determine if someone's trying to take advantage of you. That's it. And that's why we're here today, is because I love cybersecurity. I wanted to join your podcast to learn more, to spread the word of cyber literacy and cybersecurity and what people need to know.
Yes. And having a background as a teacher would certainly put you in a position where you are equipped with the skills that will hopefully, I would imagine, make it more easily understood. The whole notion of cybersecurity and what businesses and what people need to do about it. You have had a company for 10 years. I'd like you to tell us a little bit about that. What is CyberHoot? What do you do there, Craig?
CyberHoot teaches cyber literacy, full stop. We do so in a way that encourages high compliance, because anytime you're teaching people, you need them to want to learn, you need them to absorb the material, and you need them to complete their assignments, if you will. So CyberHoot tries to make cybersecurity fun, easy, quick, and enlightening on cyber teaching cyber literacy skills. We focus on things like social engineering, the importance of password hygiene, tying your passwords to multi-factor, all the basic cyber literacy skills that companies are putting in place, but people don't know why, they don't understand why. And if we can teach them the whys, they're much easier adopting how to accomplish those things. We teach the cyber literacy skills through phishing simulations, awareness training, dark web reporting, where your exposed accounts might be used against you. Consider this for a moment. All your listeners out there on this podcast, if you're not using a password manager today, I can assume, as a white hat hacker, and all the black hat hackers will assume the same, you're using the same passwords or variants all over the internet. And all I need to do to breach you is to find one of your passwords that's been breached already at hundreds and thousands of breaches. Today, we're recording this, and Ticketmaster was breached, 560 million accounts potentially up for sale on the dark web. If you're a Ticketmaster user, I know I am, potentially that password could be used to log into your email today, or maybe your bank account, depending on whether you have multi-factor turned on or not. So the reality is, hackers are after these simple things. And if you know what to do about it, if you're not using a password manager, then you're reusing passwords and you're exposing yourself to potential risks that you may not otherwise know about.
Very important stuff. 560 million people, Ticketmaster. Yes. Boy, yes. That puts a lot of punch into your message when you're saying something like that and the importance of having a password manager. As you know, Craig, from a previous conversation we had when we first met, looking forward is in part about trends. You talked about this dark web that we hear about, and the Ticketmaster thing certainly illustrates that. Phishing, I'm getting these bogus emails from people who allegedly are with companies that are well-known companies that I do business with. This is happening all around us. But what are you seeing as an expert working on this thing for 25 years as some of the big trends?
I do a lot of research on trends and what's happening in the industry so that we can adapt our training at CyberHoot to the needs and the emerging threats that are out there. But something struck me really interestingly recently. I read the Verizon data breach report that was published recently, and they did a longitudinal analysis of breach data from way back in 2008 to 2023, I believe it was. Now, before we go into what they found in that analysis or that comparison, what is Verizon data breach? The Verizon data breach report is a summation of all the breach information from all over the world. It's not US focused. It has Interpol breaches. It has the Australian CERC breaches. It has US breaches, Canadian breaches, European breaches. All this data is collected by them, put into a database, and then they do an analysis on how did hackers get in? What are the big learning, key learning takeaways from all these breaches? So every year, cybersecurity professionals want to read that report and understand its implications. Their analysis from 2008 to 2023 is this. It's the same attacks that are working today as in 2008. Social engineering delivered via phishing emails is still the number one way companies are breached, followed by password hygiene, where hackers receive a dark web password breach information and they use it to log in somewhere else. Followed by a distant third, which is unpatched vulnerability. So if you're not patching your internet-facing systems, hackers will eventually find a problem and break in potentially. But it's really the same from 2008 to 2023. Now, what did change? What is different? The number of attacks has skyrocketed since 2008. So where there were X number of attacks in 2008, there's 50 times as more attacks today. The sophistication of the attacks has increased. So if a hacker breaches your network, if you go back to 2008, what were they doing? Encrypting your data, holding you hostage. And if you had good backups, you were back in business pretty quickly. Today, they don't just encrypt your data, they exfiltrate it, which is a fancy word for stealing it outside of your network and then threatening to release the critical and sensitive data to the internet. Just as we're seeing today, the Ticketmaster, they've offered it up for sale for $500,000. You can buy 560 million email addresses, full names, addresses, and partial credit card information. So the attacks are more damaging when they are successful. The third trend is that the complexity that is behind these attacks is increasing. So it's more difficult to identify when you've been breached. They're hiding better in your network. There's a dwell time, which is a common cybersecurity term for how long are hackers in your network before they're discovered. That's called dwell time. And it continues to rise. I think the average is now 277 days. It's a very long time. Used to be potentially shorter years ago. So while the attack methods are the same, the tactics and the techniques remain the same, the impact, the frequency, the sophistication have all increased, leading to much more destructive outcomes when successful.
Wow. You covered a lot of years with the Verizon report. It's interesting and dismaying to hear that it's the same problems. It's just that they've been magnified exponentially. It sounds like the hackers, the criminals have gotten savvier maybe, and that those of us who are the users have not kept up with the tricks that are out there. And it sounds like the education has been lacking. Is that an understatement?
I think you hit the nail on the head. Education has been lacking. I have been working very hard, and we give CyberHoot at a significant discount away to educational institutions, to schools. And we have many, many schools throughout the nation using it today to teach their administrators, right? The coaches and the administrative staff and the teachers and everybody that's responsible for putting together a school district. But I ask, why not allow the students to learn cyber literacy skills, right? They have computer literacy. How do I use an email account and a mouse and a keyboard and type, right? We do teach those skills, but we stop before we really finish the job and teach computer literacy. The world is wide open to the internet. Internet allows hackers to get into your living room and your offices. You need to know these things, but we're not teaching it in schools yet.
You mentioned, Craig, the Verizon report as being not just about North America. We're not just about North America here with looking forward. You also just made a reference again to other parts of the world if they did this sort of thing. Are there any differences in terms of the need for cybersecurity in other places around the world besides the United States? How would you compare the United States with other countries? And I said the need, but I would also add in terms of how well they're dealing with it. maybe there are some leaders, trailblazers out there who are doing more of what your company does?
Good question, Jeff. I like the question. Unfortunately, I don't think anyone's going to like the answer.
Oh.
Reality is that people are people no matter where you go in the world. They are wanting to do the right thing, but they don't have the requisite knowledge to do the right thing. They fall victim to social engineering attacks, no matter where in the world they are. I have been exposed to companies all over the world, from Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, throughout Asia Pac, the EU, Canada, South America. They all are starting to understand the need to teach and educate users on the most common attacks they face from an email and social engineering and phishing perspective, but not everybody is doing it, no matter where you go in the world. I would say 5 years ago, we were convincing people that they needed to educate their employees. And today, there's a recognition, at least in the companies I speak to, wherever they are in the world, that they need education. And now they're just asking, what's the best way to get there?
I really hope you're enjoying this episode so far. If you are, can you please do me a small favor? Let some of your family members, friends, or others in your network know about it. And about Looking Forward, opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers. And hey, if you happen to like this podcast, my interviewing approach, or maybe even my voice, please consider checking out some of the many services my business provides. These include podcast hosting, creation and consulting, voiceovers, professional interviewing, production of audio or video profiles to help you sell your business, promote your services, increase your customers, or raise funding, and services to help you market to the large and growing seniors population. That's something I've actually written a book about. To learn more, please visit www.jeff-ostroff.com. You can also email me at jeff@jeff-ostroff.com. Now let's get back to this episode of Looking Forward, opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers.
Craig, as you well know, our primary focus on Looking Forward is on opportunities.
Yes.
And when I hear you speaking right now, and when I think about just from in my day-to-day activities and what I hear on the news and what you talked about previously with Ticketmaster, I have to believe that there are opportunities out there for people in the cybersecurity space, if we want to call it that. What opportunities are you seeing the field is creating for anybody from a job and career seeker to a business person to an investor?
Great question. I'll go back in time for myself to start answering that question. 20 years ago, I had a degree in psychology and I had a love of computers and I worked in the computer science lab in the early days of the internet, learning about TCP/IP and email and how we communicated with anyone in the world with just an email. Boom, 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 out it goes. And I combined that love into a career in cybersecurity. 25 years ago, they were outsourcing all kinds of jobs in the US and Canada and all, you know, Western countries to other parts of the world. But the one they couldn't outsource was cybersecurity. You wouldn't hire someone from Europe to do your cybersecurity here in the US or vice versa. And so cybersecurity is one of those rare fields where job security is pretty high versus, you know, an outsourcing of that role. Now, that said, it's an immature field. I liken cybersecurity today to what medicine was 150 years ago. There were a lot of quacks selling, you know, snake oil and saying, here's the silver bullet to solve your cybersecurity or your health issues. Babies and young children were given alcohol in their medicine and they didn't think anything of it. There's a lot of that today in cybersecurity. It's an immature, but it is a maturing field. Getting in today will give you an opportunity to help mature that field. There are many universities that have degree programs that exist today, multiple. Here in New Hampshire is Norwich University that has done a great job building multiple threads of cybersecurity studies. You can go into forensics. You can go into secure development with secure coding. You could go into program development where you build a robust program for a company to prevent these attacks from succeeding. So it's really a green field today. Anyone that wants to get into cyber, I would say, look at those degree programs, get your experience with, you know, entry-level positions in a SOC or a NOC, that's a security operations center or a network operations center. Learn some of the protocols, learn the basic foundational skills, and you can really parlay that into a long, successful, and financially rewarding career in cybersecurity. So that's the individual's take on it. Plenty of opportunities there. And I hope in my lifetime, we can mature cybersecurity into a field that is on par with plumbers, electricians, lawyers, doctors. All those have barriers to entry and minimum bars to pass, exams, etc., before you can call yourself any of those professions. Cybersecurity doesn't have that quite yet. There is a CISSP, which I've had since 2001, but it's not quite the same level or on par with the American Bar Association becoming passing the legal bar or the medical bar, or even plumbers and electricians. They have very specific skill sets that you have to pass before you can become one. So that's that part. On an investment perspective, Jeff, you talked about investing. CyberHoot was founded with our own dollars. We haven't taken outside investment, which is a testament to the ability to have a good idea and to see it build into fruition. And CyberHoot's growing tremendously now. So if you have a really good idea on a problem in cyber that you can solve better than anyone else, perhaps it's a taking AI, artificial intelligence, and applying that to some problem in cybersecurity. There's a lot of money being going into those kinds of business ventures today where AI is helping to empower, teasing out that little needle in the haystack that says, hey, this is an indicator of an attack. In these millions of things that we're looking at, there's only two or three things we want to tease out. AI is really good at that. So if you have a great idea and you know something about AI and something about cybersecurity, combine them and you can, the world's your oyster. You could potentially find a business that investors would be willing to invest in, or you could solve a really critical problem in the world.
Sounds terrific. And these are global. These opportunities you're talking about would be global opportunities, not just limited to any particular part of the world like where we are.
Absolutely. I mean, it ties back to human firewalls at the end of the day. There are people everywhere and they all need education and they all need tools to support their businesses and protect them from breaches. So there's really no difference in my mind to a business in Uppsala, Sweden, connecting to the internet and doing business internationally than a business in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, connecting to the internet and doing business internationally. We all get emails in. We all have to connect and share our, you know, business plans to the world. We need to communicate with one another. And all of those things fall victim to the same forms of attacks that Verizon Data Breach talked about in 2008, 2023, and today. So yeah, the same principles apply. The same opportunities exist. I have no doubt that next year, we'll look at a company and we'll be like, hey, where did this company come from? They're solving this problem in cybersecurity and they were in Singapore or the Philippines and they just had a better mousetrap on something. I believe that's very possible in cybersecurity. It's kind of the Wild West today in cybersecurity land, and push west, my friends, and get that new space, own it for yourself and build your tools, build your capabilities there.
What's really exciting about this, it even goes back to the beginning of our conversation. Everybody in one way or another who's old enough to be on a computer, whether they're a worker or they're at home, has to deal with a computer. They have to use a computer. I should say virtually everybody these days has to use a computer. And so the challenges that we face are, in fact, global challenges. Everybody has to deal with this. Billions of people are dealing with this. And that the opportunities, therefore, are worldwide. This is not limited in any way geographically. And I guess the way that you were talking about the creativity, that there are so many possibilities, ways that you can help address the challenges within cybersecurity that lend themselves to new businesses beginning. So you're touching the bases of students, to employee to new business creation, founders, right on up to the investors. And certainly every big company needs to have expertise in this too. So it's all very exciting. I want to ask you about another aspect that we touch on here on Looking Forward, Craig, which is obviously we're looking forward. How do you see things playing out? You kind of touched on that in terms of cybersecurity, the field, the opportunities. If I'm reading into what you've already said, do you think we're going to see more growth in the field in terms of the various opportunities that you enumerated? What are you seeing? What are you projecting just a few years out?
The industry as a whole is growing. It's growing year over year. The projections are doubling and tripling in size for the amount of money that is being invested in cybersecurity, the number of people that are needed to operate cybersecurity tool sets, provide virtual CISO services or CISO, as you may say. One of the bigger trends is the introduction of AI into cybersecurity by both sides of the coin. Hackers are using AI now to send social engineering attack emails in any language of the world. I could send an email to someone in Chinese or in Swedish or in German, and it would be grammatically correct. It might not have the nuances of the, you know, native language speakers, but it would be grammatically correct and spelled correctly. And I can just plug in what I want to say in ChatGPT, or worse, there are other variants of GPTs out there. There's something called Worm GPT, Fraud GPT. You can point them at social media profiles of a targeted person. It will ingest what their interests are and build a spear phishing attack, which is a very focused attack meant to play on the weaknesses of that individual. Maybe from the social engineering, you can see that they're a little either narcissistic, or they are big into charity organizations, or they have a complaint about a veterinary bill for their dog. You can use that information to build a very focused spear phishing attack that they are very likely to click on. So hackers on that side of the coin are using AI to build better phishing attacks. But not only that, even malware, they're using AI to write malware to attack vulnerabilities that they might find. They're using AI to explain how to exploit vulnerabilities that other tools are finding if they use a vulnerability scanner. Hackers are going to use AI much more often and to better outcomes for their desires over the next decade. Now, flip the coin. On the good side, the cybersecurity researchers, the various firms out there are using AI to scan through billions of bits of data to tease out that needle in the proverbial galaxy haystack, if you will, to find the attacks that are happening in near real time. Humans are not good at that. We can't look at a million data points and say, oh, there's the one piece of information that's out of line. There was a test of an AI the other day that I read about, Jeff. There was a 70-page document that a researcher put in one sentence out of context in the document and said to the AI, what's out of alignment here? And in less than a second, it had scanned the 70 pages and said, here's the sentence that was inserted. That's the kind of idea or the concept that they're using at their network operations center and their security operations center, where they monitor thousands and millions and billions of data points on networks and log files, looking for the hacker tapping at the front door. And it can tease it out, hopefully before the breach occurs, and say, lock down, batten down the hatches. We've got an attack over here, and it's potentially going to be successful or not, depending on how we react. So AI will help both sides of this network coin, attacks by hackers and prevention by the good guys, if you will.
What does that mean then in terms of the opportunities that you were talking about? Does that mean that because there's going to be more opportunities for hacking or different kinds of opportunities on the dark side, that therefore is going to even further boost the potential opportunities that you talked about? What does that mean in a nutshell?
Well, in a nutshell, if you're a business owner or you're an individual wanting to get into cybersecurity, AI is going to make your threats that you face even more effective, impactful, and commonplace. So you have two choices. You can stick your head in the sand and say, I hope I don't get attacked, which will never be a successful strategy. Or you can embrace cyber and learn what you need to know to build these defenses in your own companies, in your own person, develop and use your cyber literacy skills. Look, Jeff, cyber literacy is like physical fitness. I've had so many companies come to me and say, Craig, can you teach a once a year training to all my staff so that they're cyber literate? I'm like, no different than if you go to the gym and work out for 5 hours once a year, you're going to be fit. No, you're going to hurt yourself, in fact, because no one can work out for 5 hours once a year and not get hurt. The reality is it takes practice over time, like going to the gym does, three times a week, twice a week. You're going to build your physical fitness. You're going to build your cyber literacy. And the more you do that in your users at your companies, you build that culture of cybersecurity, that fitness, the better you'll be protected against the current attacks, but also the AI-generated attacks of the future. Now, as an investor or an individual looking to start a business, embrace AI. It is the future of the world. Bill Gates said, the impact of AI will be greater than the sum of all previous technological revolutions in history. So not only the Industrial Revolution, but the advent of the internet and wireless technologies and satellite technology, all of that will pale in comparison to what AI will do to the world around us. So either you get on board and you learn these things and you become proficient at AI, or you're going to be left behind. Tying that into cybersecurity, it's a green field and the opportunities are endless.
Great information, Craig. I just see so many possibilities here in terms of opportunities. And this is sort of a good news, bad news in that because of problems, the opportunities aren't going to go away. It's problems that are creating the opportunities. One of the things we love to do, our listeners love to hear these, are the tips that experts like you can provide to them on how they could begin to seize upon any of the opportunities that you've discussed here, Craig, and you've talked about quite a few from different angles. Can you give us a couple, three tips?
Sure. So within cybersecurity, there are cybersecurity conferences all over the world. I would suggest if you're an investor and you want to get some investment dollars in cybersecurity, you might want to attend one of those cybersecurity conferences and visit the new and emerging vendor booths, because there are a lot of good ideas, particularly those embracing AI, to bring new technologies to the marketplace. If you went back 150 years and you had a horse and buggy business and you saw this little putt-putt automobile going down the street, hitting potholes, having flat tires, and you said, there's something here. I really maybe want to invest in that versus a brand new horse and buggy. You would be onto something. AI is the same thing, but how do you get into that is you have to A, learn some skills around generative AI. How does it work? What are the merits, demerits, the strengths, the weaknesses? And then attend these cybersecurity conferences to look at the businesses and what are the bright ideas that people are coming up with to solve current problems that you see will be future problems only made worse by AI. So the opportunities there are endless. And, you know, I would say use your common sense skill set too. There's no difference investing in a business today than there was 15 years ago, 50 years ago. You need to find good, smart people who are hardworking and all of the business acumen that you would want to invest in, people who know what they're doing, have done their homework, and are prepared to bring something new and improve to market. So that's a couple of tips there. Outside of that, you could also look at building something yourself. If you have looked around your business, whatever industry you're in, take a look at the problems of that industry from the lens or the viewing glasses of what AI, artificial intelligence, could do for that. I'll give you an example within our business. We create video content to train people how to learn cyber literacy skills. But we can't do it in multiple languages because we're English focused in my founding company and team. AI has auto-translate abilities. AI can build videos for us. Not only the video, we just seed it with the content that we want to train people on, but we can build videos and we can auto-translate them into multiple languages. So we can solve the problem. We have a BHAG in our company to train a billion people on cyber literacy. To do that, we're going to have to do it in other languages. AI can help us get there. So that's the kind of tip I think that you need to use that lens to solve problems in novel ways that weren't solvable 5 years ago or even 2 years ago without AI.
Those are great tips. And I know you earlier had also given more than one. And one of them that I recall is just telling the younger people to get an education that's built around these various cybersecurity skills. Craig, this has been wonderful. I've learned a lot. I've also gotten even more panicky, but that's okay. It makes me realize that I've got more that I've got to do as a user. What's the best way for our listeners to learn more about you, about the Cyberhood, your products, your services? You got a newsletter, whatever else you'd like them to know about.
So you can visit cyberhood.com and look through our website on the different services we provide. You could subscribe to our newsletter under cyberhood.com/newsletters. You could read our weekly blog article where we talk about emerging threats or topics of conversation. Today, we're going to be releasing a blog on the emerging Ticketmaster breach, right? All of these things can teach you what you need to know or what you need to learn about Cyberhood as a team. You could email sales@cyberhood.com to request a demo. We could go over the positive reinforcement phishing, the better mousetrap we've built for phish testing, or answer any of your burning cybersecurity questions. We're all about making the world a little better place than when we got here at Cyberhood, and that's what we would love to do with you.
Yeah, I think that's great. A lot of ways to get a hold of you, a lot of great information you're putting out. You're also on LinkedIn, correct?
Yes. Craig M. Taylor on LinkedIn.
Craig M. Taylor. Craig, it's been a pleasure having you on. Very educational. It makes sense to me that you are a teacher. I can tell that behind everything here is your desire to impart valuable information to so many people out there. And I know you're trying to reach a billion of them. So I wish you good luck with that quest. Thank you so much for being our guest on Looking Forward, Opportunities for Job, Career, Business, and Investment Seekers.
My pleasure, Jeff.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Looking Forward, Opportunities for Job, Career, Business, and Investment Seekers. I hope you've enjoyed it and will benefit from it. And if you did like it, please share this episode with anyone you know who you think might also find it of value. And if you have any comments or questions about Looking Forward, or any suggestions for future topics or guest experts, you can reach me at the website www.jeff-ostroff.com or through my email address, jeff@jeff-ostroff.com. Thanks.